Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
If you have your Bibles, come with me to the book of Mark. Book of Mark, chapter 4. I'll read from verse 35 to 39. So we'll go 35 to 39 for now. I'm going to read from the Amplified version. If you don't have the Amplified, you can follow me as I read it. It says in verse 35, "On that same day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go over to the other side of the lake.' And leaving the throng, they took him with them just as he was in the boat in which he was sitting, and other boats were with him. And a furious storm of hurricane proportions arose, and the waves kept beating into the boat so that it was already becoming filled. But he himself was in the stern of the boat, asleep on the leather cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Master, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Hush now, be still,' muzzled. And the wind ceased, sank to rest as if exhausted by the beating. And there was immediately a great calm, a perfect peacefulness." Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your abiding presence with us in this place. We acknowledge you are here and we acknowledge that you are good. So even now, will you lay hold of our hearts, our thoughts, our imaginations? Again, will you bring them into line with your best desires for each one of us? Holy Spirit of the living God, as I yield to you now, as I humble my heart before you now, fill me anew and fill me afresh. Let this anointing be upon me to preach and teach, and let the same anointing be upon your people to listen, to hear, to listen, to understand, and to apply truth to their lives. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message this morning is Becoming a Master of the Storm. And maybe I should change that and make it Becoming the Master of Your Storm. So you pick and choose which one you want. Becoming a Master of the Storm. I'm just sharing this morning because I believe that there's some of you here, you're going through a storm right now. Right now in your situation, you are experiencing a storm. You are experiencing incredible challenges. And I pray that by the end of this message, the Lord will not only have encouraged you, but he would have equipped you to become a person who will not be mastered by what you're going through, not be enslaved by what you are going through, not be crippled by what you're going through, but rather will empower you to master every single circumstance that you are having to face right now. For those who've come through a storm, this is also going to relate to you. And for those who are about to enter into the storm, because every one of us will fall into either one of those three categories. Every one of us will. This is the Christian life. This is the Christian life. The Lord never ever promised us that this was going to be every single day of our lives a bed of roses. He never did. But what he has promised is that he will never leave us or forsake us. And tonight I'm going to speak. I'm not going to announce one because I'm still trying to figure out what God wants me to speak on. He gave me one message, and then I'm coming to church, and another message comes in. Lord, you know, do you want me for another time, or you know, yeah? So we'll see. But it's going to be powerful. It's going to be good, and I think it's about the sufficiency of the Lord. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm ready either way. I'm ready. I'm, you know, both guns are loaded, and I'm ready to go. Hallelujah! It's going to be powerful either way. He wants you to become a master of your storm. How do we do that? I have five things I want to give to you this morning. The first principle, if you like, that you need to lay hold of if you are to become a person who is a master of your storm, if you want to master the storm, not to be dominated by what you're going through, but to dominate it, to learn to not just survive, but to thrive, to rise above whatever it is that you're facing, the first thing you need to do is you need to refuse to stay where you are. You got to refuse to stay where you are. To become a master of the storms of your life, you need to say, nope, I'm not staying where I am. I am moving forward. I am not staying in this place. Spiritually, I am going to keep on progressing. The Bible says, and what I want to do is I want to work through these five verses. So I'm going to pull out some thoughts from these five verses, from 35 all the way through to 39. So we start with verse 35. It says, On that same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So the first thing that needs to be highlighted here is simply this. It was Jesus himself who gave them the instruction to go over to the other side. It was Jesus' instruction himself. It wasn't their idea. It wasn't anyone else. It was Christ himself who said, let us cross over to the other side. You see, Jesus is a progressive God. Therefore, he expects every one of us to have a walk of faith that is a progressive one. You were never designed to stay in one place spiritually or influentially. It is not God's will for you to stagnate, but to be constantly moving into greater things of God. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a stagnant pool. It's not very nice. People say, well, nothing grows in, you know, there's no life in stagnant water. There is life in stagnant water. It is an environment that is conducive for certain things to grow. Usually things that aren't very helpful to us as human beings. If someone threw you in fresh water and you got some fresh water into your system, it will not do you any harm. What fresh flowing water, no problem at all. I mean, I still won't drink from a running river, but that's just me. I see Bear Grylls and doing all that rubbish. And I said, no, you can keep that. I'm good. All right. I will either go get something in a bottle or turn on a tap and just, you know, even the taps, you know, that's another story. But stagnant water is not good. Things grow, harmful things. So even a life that is stagnant, it's not a case that you're lifeless. Something is growing there. Just not a very good thing, or not many good things are growing in that situation. There will always be growth in light and in dark. Things grow in light. Things also grow in the dark. Things grow when there is a flow, and things grow when there is stagnation. And God wants us to be a people who are prospering in all things. A people who are in good health and who are prospering in all things, even as our soul prospers. Your soul needs to be a prospering and a prosperous soul. A soul that is stagnant. If you haven't moved from that thing that happened 10 years ago, if you haven't made progress from that challenge you faced 2 weeks ago, If you are still finding yourself in the same old, day in, day out, there is a problem. And things, very unhealthy things, will start to grow. And by the grace of God, we need to allow His Holy Spirit, who is not only the Ruach, the breath of God, but He is also the river of living water. He is the river of life. We need to ask and allow this person of the Holy Spirit to continually flow through us, and at the same time to continually sweep us off of our feet and take us to where He wants us to go. He doesn't want us to continually remember the former things. Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 19, it says, forget the former things of old. Forget the former things. Forget the former things and behold. Forget and behold. We cannot behold if we don't forget. You cannot forget and behold at the same time. Either you're going to forget, or either you're going to keep on remembering the former things and neglect what God is about to show you, or you forget the former things so that you can start seeing what God is about to show you. He says, behold, I do a new thing. Can you not perceive it? Will you not see it? The former things were great, some of them. Some of them weren't great, but even for the ones that were great, it says, you know, they were former things for good reason. They existed to create the foundations for the new things that God is about to do in and through your life. If we remain in the land of the former things, then we will not progress into the land of the things to come. Jesus said to the 12, let us go over to the other side. In other words, we're done here. It's time to move onto new and greater things, greater adventures, greater displays of the power of the kingdom. Jesus is ready to take you on a journey, and every journey must have a destination. Jesus does not travel with you aimlessly or pointlessly. He is taking you somewhere. We are all journeying through life, and this journey, every journey has a destination. And He is saying to you now, child of God, let's go. Let's move from this place to that place. Spiritually, emotionally, influentially, He wants you to move on. He wants you to progress. He wants you to advance. He says, yes, you have seen a glimpse of my power. Yes, you have received a great revelation of my love through my word. Yes, you have experienced a great outpouring of my spirit. But there is more on the other side. It's there that I will show you things that you have never seen. It's there that you will experience things that you have never experienced. It is there that you will know and understand things that you have never known, nor have you ever understood. But church, obedience is the key.
Thank you, Lord.
I wonder what would have happened if the disciples decided to just stay where they were. I wonder what would have happened if they refused to go across to the other side as the Lord instructed them. Because God was on a mission. Jesus was on the move. And He wanted to take them with Him. But if they weren't ready to go with Him, I believe that He would have found someone else. I believe that He would have got some other person's boat and said, come on, I don't have time to waste. Let's keep moving. In the same way, God is speaking to us and He is saying, I don't have time to waste. Some of you, the Lord has spoken to you about things, specific things on multiple occasions. That's His grace and that's His mercy. The fact that He didn't just say it once, but He said it 3, 4, 5 times. And there is, for some reason, there is still holding back, there is still hesitation, and there is still disobedience. Because you need to understand that partial obedience is disobedience. When the Lord says, I need you to do something, He wants us to do it. And there is content in terms of what He has asked us to do, but there's also timing when He has asked us to do it. And God wants us to be a people who are obedient to His voice. The key to advancing forward in your Christian faith is learning to walk in obedience to the voice of God and to obey God in the small things and in the big things. So that's the first thing. That's the first principle, the first step of actually learning how to master your storm. Bearing in mind, at this stage, you wouldn't have entered into the storm yet. The storm wouldn't have come yet. But there needs to be preparation for everything. Amen? Amen. Child of God, we have to be a people who are prepared for what is about to come. The second thing is this. As you're going on this, you've obeyed the Lord. He says, come on, let's go. Let's cross over from that place of, you know, just reading your Bible every now and again, just praying every now and again. Let's cross over from that place of hardly ever ministering to people or hardly ever witnessing to people about my love and about my compassion. You know, let's cross over from that place of not liking yourself too much, not considering yourself to be worth anything or value of any value. Let's cross over from that place in obedience to his voice. You do that. And then the next stage is as you are traveling, as you are moving forward, be persuaded. Number two, be persuaded that you are carrying the presence of Jesus with you. Verse 36, it says, and leaving the throng, They took him with them just as he was. In the boat in which he was sitting, and other boats were with him. I love that. And other boats were with him. See, as you move forward with Christ in your life, you will become a carrier of his presence. Amen. You are a carrier of the presence of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, even now. And as you do this, because you are moving in obedience and with obedience, as you are moving forward in the things of God, you need to know that people will observe that there is something distinguished about you. There is something different about you because you are carrying God's presence. His presence alone will set you apart. His presence alone will make you different. It will make you not only different and set apart, but it will make you attractive. And it will make you attractive to those who are seeking after God. Amen. As a result of this, people will follow you. Well, in actual fact, they will follow the Jesus in you. But they would be attracted by his spirit in you and upon your life. As a carrier of God, either one of two things will happen. As a carrier of the presence of Jesus, either one of two things will happen. Either what I've just said would happen, people will be attracted to you and they will want to know what's happening. Why are you the way you are? You know, why are you, you don't swear like everyone else who swears in this place. You don't allow yourself to be overwhelmed by the circumstances that you're facing. You know, we've just received a potential notice of redundancy or whatever, and you're dealing with this in a very different way. You know, I know what you're going through. You have that family member who is really unwell, but I see you smiling. You know, I see you full of joy. I want to know why are you the way you are? So you become attractive. As you are going on this journey of obedience, as you are moving forward from point A to point B, from your starting point to your destination point. So either that will happen or they won't like you very much. As I recently came across a quote, you got to understand, when you come across certain people, the spirit in you gets the demon in them very angry. So you're either going to be very attractive to people who are seeking answers and seeking after God, or you're going to become very offensive or repulsive to people who are so broken they don't know how to get out of their mess. They are so trapped in darkness, even when they see light, it's offensive. You go from a dark place, from a really dark place into a light place, there's a reaction, isn't there? There is a reaction in your vision. There's a reaction to the way you respond to that. And you got to understand that for some people, that's not they don't want that. So don't freak out when people around you start having a go at you. Because it's not them that's the issue. It's what's happening in them that's the issue. And I'll kind of unpack this a little bit more very shortly. As you look back on your life, you just ask yourself the question, who has been impacted for Christ through my life? Just ask yourself, who has been impacted for Jesus through my life? Who has been attracted to the presence of God that is both in me and upon my life? In fact, who is following me or the Christ in me because they have seen me in a very different form than what they see in others? See, you are a carrier of the Lord's presence. And I pray that this truth becomes a daily reality for you. And as a result, I also pray that many will be attracted to the presence of God that is not only in your life, but upon your life. If having asked yourself that question, maybe not now, you think about it as you go home, regarding your circle of influence, regarding people around you, are they attracted to you? Are people drawn to the fragrance of the presence of God? Are they drawn to you because from you emanates the fragrance of the presence of Jesus? Are they drawn to you as a result of that, or are they repulsed by you because they cannot stand what's going on? Either way, something has to happen in the lives of any single person that comes into your vicinity. I need you to see this morning. How is it possible for the God of all creation to dwell not only in you, but with you, and then only for the atmosphere around you not to change? Church, I pray you're with, and I'm sorry if you, I hope you're all getting this, but if you don't, just take time and just let it sink in. You know, how can that be possible? You see, if the atmosphere is not changing, then there is something wrong. Amen. And this is where we have to come before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. You gotta inspect me. You need to examine me. You need to check me out because I know you live in me. I know you are walking with me. Heaven has to come into a place when I come into a place. Amen. That has got to be the case. If it's not the case, then there is an issue. And just very quickly, the issue usually is what this thing between our ears, this the mind. That's all it is. You see, the renewing, the renewing of the mind is not just about progressively becoming a better Christian. The renewing of the mind is entering into the fullness of the reality of becoming more like Jesus. On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as he is in heaven. Maybe we'll look at that some other time. The third thing. as we go through this, you know, we refuse to stay where we are. We're moving forward, and we are carrying him. We are carrying his presence. The next thing you need to know is that you're going to face opposition. You will face opposition. Number three, you be prepared. Be prepared. You want to master the storm. Be prepared to face opposition. Verse 37, it says, and a furious storm of wind of hurricane proportions arose, and the waves kept beating into the boat so that it was already filling. This was of hurricane proportions. By today's standards, that's what? Anywhere from 75 miles an hour winds to 150 miles an hour wind, depending on whether it's going to go from a category one to a category five. And in recent news, we've had quite a few hurricanes batter many parts of our globe, to devastating effect. Many of these occurrences, church, are signs of the end times. You have to, I know I've got to throw it in every now and again, but we need to be mindful. They don't just happen just because they're happening. They are happening intentionally in perfect alignment with God's plan. I didn't say God is causing the hurricane now. But nature is responding to what God has ordained for the future of creation. So these guys are moving. They are traveling and they are carrying Messiah with them. And all of a sudden, the storm hits of hurricane proportions. It arose. That's the word that I find that very provocative. The storm, 1 minute it was just, whoa, the next thing, whoa, it arose. They're traveling and it arose like a giant, like a tormentor, like a mountain, like a Goliath, saying, who do you think you are? Where do you think you're going? The storm arose and said, you're only gonna go so far but no further. I can tell you that right now. It arose. So that it was already becoming filled. As a side note, it's not the water outside your vessel, outside your boat, that's going to sink your life. It's the water that you let in. Nothing outside of you has the power to bring you down. Only that which you allow to get in. Are you with me this morning? That's why you need to guard your heart. Because the issues of your life flow from that place. You need to guard your mind as well as renew your mind. You got to guard your eyes. You got to guard your ears. Oh, Lord, help us. You need to guard your mouth. So when you live to obey the Lord by refusing to stay where you are, in your knowledge and experience of his greatness, of his glory, and when you proactively become a true carrier of his presence, you will face opposition. The greater the opposition you face, the greater the reward will be when you come past it. It's also worth noting that the opposition of the storm did not begin at the start of their journey, but halfway through. There will be times in your walk with the Lord when you will begin your journey with him in relative peace, calmness, joy, happiness, just loving everybody, loving everything. Life is so good. Life is so sweet. And then all hell breaks loose. Yes. And you face attacks on every side. It is at those points that you must remember and you must believe that God is in full control. Amen. And that he is stronger than any opposition you might face. Today I believe that when hell breaks loose over your life, know that heaven is also about to break loose over every situation that you are facing. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is about to raise up a standard against him. There is a breaking forth and a breaking out of the glory and majesty of God over every single child of God that is going through whatever it is that they are going through. Resistance and opposition will rise up against you because you are going somewhere with God. Christians who are not going anywhere with God will not face any opposition. That's why we count it all joy when we go through trials. Because these trials that we go through are the very things that authenticate our faith. I'm telling you, you can come. Oh, well, no one in this room will come. Let me not speak over you in the name of Jesus. There are some Christians somewhere that will attend church all of their lives with an unauthentic faith. I'm not making it up. It's James chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Go read it for yourself. It is what we go through that determines who we truly are. And it's interesting that it happens at the middle. Because the middle part is the place of momentum. And it's when you get to the middle, when you get to middle age, when you get to middle of the journey, when you get to that middle of the road, that marker, even in marriage, in relationship, in business, when you get to the middle, you've moved, things have been great, and all of a sudden, you hit that wall. You hit that wall. Don't stop. When it pushes up against you, you need to push back. I said you need to push back, church. Some of you need to hear this. You need to push back. Because you just keep on getting pushed all the time. Pushed, pushed, pushed. But at some point, you need to say enough is enough. Over my mind, over my health, over my marriage, over my children, over my finances, you need to say enough is enough. And it's not just about empty rhetoric. It is about the word of God. It is about the promise of God. Why? Because it's the word himself who said, come on, let's cross over to the other side. The word who became flesh is the one who spoke the word into life, into existence, and said, we are going over to the other side. Every single promise that you have been given has been given to you by the one who is the promiser, the giver of the promise, and the keeper of the promise. That's why you need to push back. Because the pushing back is not just about you or for you. The pushing back is for all those little boats that are following your vessel because you are carrying the presence of Almighty God. We have a responsibility, church, to push back. Number four. Believe that God cares for you. Verse 38. But he himself. Verse 37, the furious storm comes, the boat is filling, but he himself was at the stern of the boat, asleep on the leather cushion, and they awoke him and said to him, Master, do you not care that we are perishing? I wonder if the Lord said to them, disciples, who told you you're perishing? Isn't it amazing how we so come to our own conclusions? We see a circumstance that, that's right, you know. The anointing of, from Dad's Army comes upon us. Doomed, doomed, yeah, we're doomed. You know, it comes on. Some of you are like, what is he talking about? Doomed, I tell you, we're doomed. Jesus cares about your past. He cares about your present. He cares about your future. Jesus cares about where you were. He cares about where you are. And he cares about where you are going to. The disciples were full of fear and intimidation. They were convinced that they were going to perish. And maybe to their defense, everything around them gave them that impression, I guess. But you know something? not everything we see in the physical, I'm going ahead of myself, but we just need to learn first and foremost to be a spiritual people. That's why we are spirit, soul, and body, not body, soul, and spirit. We need to be a spiritually minded people, because then when we are faced with certain things, we can ask the right questions as opposed to coming to the wrong conclusions. They were full of fear and intimidation. They had experienced the Lord's power, his authority over sin, sickness, disease, demons. Yet they struggled to find the faith to believe that they would come through this particular situation. But whilst all this is happening, Jesus is asleep in the stern, which is the back end of the boat. I think he was asleep because he was tired, personally. Just saying. In the stern of the boat, at the back end of the boat, where is Jesus positioned in your life? Where is he prioritized, at the top or at the bottom? Only you can answer that question, but I tell you what, the Holy Spirit knows the answer before you do. The same question I'm asking you, he's asking me. Because he'll either be at the helm or at the stern. He needs to be at the helm. But if the best place, as far as we're concerned, for him is at the helm, then he will go there. He's a good God. He's a gentle God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm not going to kick it down. I knock. If you let me in, you let me in. If you don't let me in, I go knock on the other door. Jesus could sleep in the storm because he possessed and demonstrated the faith to do so, even when he was not aware of the need to do so. He could sleep in the storm because he demonstrated faith even when he didn't need to do so. For those of us in this room of an African persuasion, amen. Regardless, we have our South African brothers here, so it's not just about color. Praise the Lord. Amen. Maybe even because I've come across mosquitoes here in the UK. There are mosquitoes in Jamaica. The difference is the mosquitoes here won't kill you. The mosquitoes in Jamaica and in Africa and other parts of the world, tropical parts, as opposed to temperate, they will kill you. Not they themselves, but what they're carrying. So just as you're carrying that which brings life, you have these little that are carrying in themselves. They can't do nothing. If they bite you, they're not carrying anything, you know. But when they possess this virus, that's why I said it's not what's outside of you that has the power to destroy you. It's what gets in you. When they have this ability and they bite you and inject you, eventually, if care is not taken, you will be infected. So I have a lot of experience about this. But you see, there was a time when I went to, growing up as a young man, you go to sleep, you take all the precautions. These little demons will find a way. And the amazing thing is, I wake up, and I won't even know that I've been in a battle. There's blood everywhere. On my clothes, on my bed. Because, amen. Why? Because you're, pow! You're asleep. You're not awake. You're, boom! You don't, and the longer you live in that environment, instinctively, you know, I'm telling you, you just hear this, pow! You're there. And you're still asleep. That's why There are times when, yes, you're wide awake and you're praying in the spirit and you're engaging in warfare and you're doing all the things you know to do. Absolutely no problem with that. You're demonstrating faith. But I'm telling you, Jesus would have done all of that when he rebuked the demon. He was awake. When he cast out that devil, when he healed the sick, he was awake. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, he was awake. But Jesus, in this instance, is demonstrating faith. He is demonstrating his mastership and is mastering over the storm even while he is asleep. Oh, okay. I thought it was a good point myself, but yeah. The mosquitoes will come and I didn't need to be awake to kill them. I was fast asleep. I was in a place of rest. Pow! I got you, sucker. Quite literally, he is a sucker. I'm not swearing, he's a sucker. I got you. Demonstrating it. I'm at rest. I'm at peace. You got to know that if you are to become a master of the storm, you need to learn to sleep in the storm. You need to learn to be at rest in the storm. You need to learn to be at peace in the storm. When everything else is going crazy around you, you need to be the one who is walking in perfect sanity, sleeping in perfect sanity, resting in perfect sanity. Why? Because you have Jesus living on the inside of you. He could sleep in the storm because he lived in the perfect love of the Father. He could sleep in the storm because he had already mastered the storm. I tell you that no weapon formed against you in your past, in your present, or in your future will ever triumph over you. No weapon formed against you will ever prosper over you. I am not here to promise you that you're not going to have, it's not going to be a case where weapons will be formed or fashioned against you, because they will be formed or fashioned against you. But what I am saying to you with absolute confidence is that they will never triumph over you. In the name of Jesus, somebody please say amen. He had mastered the storm, but the disciples were convinced that they were going to die that night, even though they were experienced fishermen. And the reason why I guess they were convinced that they were going to perish was this was no ordinary storm. This is a storm most likely they had like they had never seen before. When you are that close to the greatest breakthrough of your life, that's when you are going to experience the highest, potentially the highest degree of satanic attack. Amen. Be of good cheer. Be encouraged, because something is about to happen. This was an extraordinary storm. And in the end, man's extremity became God's opportunity. They said, don't you care about us? Jesus does care. He does care. He cared about them and he cares about you. You just need to get the right perspective of who he is. You need to stop trying to figure him out in your mind and come to your own conclusion based on things that have happened or not happened, or things that in your past or in your present that didn't work out in a certain way. You need to understand he is Lord, he is God, he is King, he is unchangeable. We have got to align our every aspect of our lives with that simple truth. He does care about you. He cares. You might ask the question, Lord, you care that I'm about to lose my house? Yes, he does. You care that my son or daughter is backsliding? Yes, he does. Do you care, Lord, that I am suffering from anxiety or depression? Yes, he does. Do you care, Lord, that I don't have enough money to put food on my table? Yes, he does. Do you not care, Lord, that I've just been diagnosed with an incurable disease? Yes, he does. Do you not care, Lord, that my marriage is struggling right now? Yes, he does. He cares about every single aspect and detail of your life. Thank you, Jesus. If you are to master the storm, you need to know that God cares for you. The final point is this. To become a master of the storm, you need to learn to engage in spiritual warfare. Final verse, verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush now, be still, be muzzled." And the wind ceased, sank at rest, as if exhausted by its beating. And there was immediately a great calm and perfect peacefulness. Wow. Wow. See, Jesus arose and rebuked the wind. Didn't rebuke the waves. He rebuked the wind. He rebuked that which was unseen, not the waves, that which was seen. Why? Because the root of the problem was not with the waves. The root of the problem was with the wind. It was not that which was visible which caused the issue, but that which was invisible. So to become a master of the storm that you are facing right now, you need to know who your true enemy is. You need to learn how to engage with this enemy in battle, in combat. Engaging with the wrong enemy will cause every single child of God to engage in the wrong battle. Engaging with the wrong enemy is a waste of time and energy and resources. So we have got to deal with the root, and then the Lord will take care of the fruit. Ephesians 6:12, scripture we all know very well. But we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Stop fighting against that brother and sister. Stop accusing that brother or sister. Stop complaining against that brother and sister. Stop backbiting. Stop gossiping. Stop doing all of those things that just contribute to what the enemy wants to achieve. Because your battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not your boss that's the issue. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your neighbor. It's not the person down the street calling you a bigot, calling you a homophobe. It's not the person on Facebook who's having a go against you that is the issue. That's not the root of the problem. That's just the fruit. Those are the waves that if you allow to enter into your boat will capsize you. But you learn to deal with the actual root, and it's the wind. It is that which cannot be seen. It is the spiritual, for we do not wrestle against the physical. We don't wrestle, we don't combat, we don't engage with that which is physical, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And of course, 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 says, our weapons, these weapons that we engage with are not of our warfare. They are not physical weapons. They are not carnal weapons, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every argument, both within and without, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, both within and without, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, both within and without. Why? Because any thought that you do not take captive will eventually take you captive. Somebody is going to be captive. Someone is going to be imprisoned. It's either going to be you or the thoughts that you're entertaining. Someone is going to get capsized. Someone is going to be sunken. It's either that which is on the external or the internal. So to master this storm, whatever it is you're going through right now, you need to understand. I'm going to speak on understanding the principles of spiritual warfare over the next couple of weeks. So I can't go into in detail now. Band, please come because we're finished. I don't know where you are this morning, but I know that you're coming through it. And you are going to get to your destination. I want to give you four reasons why you're going to get to your destination. I was going to wrap up, but I'll give you four reasons. It's not a long thing. Four reasons. I could do it off head, but I want to get it right. The first reason why you're going to get to your destination, the first reason why you're going to come through what you're coming through is that Jesus is with you. He's on your boat. The second reason is that you're in the boat. First reason, he's on the boat. Second reason, you're on the boat. You are here to make a difference. The difference cannot be made if you are not here. If the enemy takes you out, then that which God has called you to do cannot be done. You say, well, he may find someone else. No, that is just besides the point. I don't want to even think about him going to find someone else. God, whoa. Amen, hallelujah. I don't even want to think about him finding someone else. That's passionate preaching right there. I'm like, God, I'm going to do this. Because you're going to do this. I'm not going to miss my opportunity. And church, you need to rise up. You need to be determined to say, whatever it is that I am allowing to fill my life, I'm getting out of my life. Because it will not capsize me. It won't kill me. It won't bring me down. Don't look at anyone else. Don't blame anyone else. Don't focus on Jesus and focus on who you are. The third reason why you're going to make it, you have an assignment to complete. You have an assignment to complete. And the fourth reason is, as I've said, it's Jesus who spoke. The word spoke. It's the word. It's the word of God. It's the word of God that said, you're going to be healed. It's the word of God that said, you're going to be prosperous. It's the word of God that said, all of your family, your whole family is going to be saved. It's the word of God. It's the word of God, church. It's not the word of Pastor Tony. It's not your words. It's not the words of the enemy. It's the word of God. It's the word of God that says all these things are going to happen because his promises are yes and they are amen. He has spoken it. He is going to do it. You have an assignment. That's why they had to cross over to the other side. There was a demoniac. There was a future evangelist. There was an evangelist of 10 towns, of 10 cities that was waiting for his God appointment. He was waiting for Yeshua to come, the bringer of life, the giver of life to come. He was waiting. He didn't know he was waiting, but the devil knew that he was waiting. And that's why the devil tried to capsize them in the water. You see, he does not know your future. He only sees your potential. He only sees who you're going to become. He can only guesstimate, and that is enough for him to shake where he stands. That is enough for him to cause all of heaven to come against you. But I'm telling you right now that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Only if you allow it to do so. Stop wasting your time on fruitless activity. Stop wasting your time on things that will not build you up and edify your spirit. Stop wasting your time on going through, trawling through the internet, trying to find conspiracies and trying to bring ministries down and leaderships down and all these things. Who has commissioned you to do that? We are wasting time. When Jesus is saying, come on, get up, start to move, man of God, start to move, woman of God. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. There is someone waiting for you on the other side because there is someone waiting for me, says the Lord. Their assignment was ready. The future evangelist of 10 towns. Who is influencing you? Who are you influencing? Who is following you? What are the tiny boats that are following your life? Who is your assignment? What is your assignment? Who is that person who's going to be the next worldwide evangelist because of your faithfulness, because you refuse to allow yourself to be drowned by that storm? Here is little old you. Oh, you just attend LWC. You just do your little thing. Who says it's little? Who says it's little? Lord, I'm perishing. Who says you're perishing? If only God will show you things from heaven's perspective. When God shows you what's happening in your life and through your life from heaven's perspective, you're going to start seeing yourself in a different way. Stand. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Wow. Just wait on him. I've said what I need to say. Just wait on him. Let him do it now. We're almost finished. mastering the storm. It changes from today. Something shifted in our church last Sunday night. I'm not going to go into that, but I'm telling you right now, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you're about to enter into. But all I know, I'm not going to tell you here. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that your circumstances will change. That's up to God. What I am going to tell you with confidence is that you're about to change. So let's wait on the Lord. We're almost there. You're about to change. Something is about to shift. The word of the Lord, there you go. The word of the Lord is about to come again to you. Again, the word of the Lord is about to come to you. Hallelujah. Lord, we welcome you here, Holy Spirit. Have you moved on? Have you moved further from where you were? What's your growth been like on this journey? What's your encounters, your experiences of Jesus' love, of his power, of his mercy, of his grace? Has it been greater than it's been? Or have you been stagnant? Or maybe even gone back? Oh God, have mercy upon us this morning. You know me, I don't do gimmicks. I don't have time for that nonsense. This is a convergence between heaven and earth, between the throne room and you, between yourself and your Jesus. So let him do what he needs to do. I have no interest in sensationalizing things. Just let the Spirit of the Lord do what he needs to do. Have you been distracted lately? Have you been distracted lately? That ends today in Jesus' name. Those distractions end right now in the name of Jesus. Where before you had clarity, you were always able to enter into a situation with clarity because of your walk with the Lord, because of the assurance that you had of his abiding presence. And now what follows you is confusion. I'm telling you, by faith, whoever that is, it ends today in Jesus' mighty name. We're going to deal with the winds now. We're going to deal with the winds in a second. I know time is gone, but some winds have to die down today. Some winds have to die down today. There's been financial winds whipped up. There's been serious emotional winds whipped up. There's been winds of oppression and confusion. Even within family situations. There you go. Thank you, Lord. They've been whipped up. They have been whipped up, and then the waves are the backlash. The waves are the physical consequences, the things that you have been experiencing. I'm telling you this morning that in the name of Jesus, the Son of God is about to rise. Where this thing rose up in the middle of your journey saying, who do you think you are? Where do you think you're going? Here comes the risen Savior. He is rising up. He is standing up in the fullness of his authority, and he is now speaking to every one of those situations, and he is talking to the wind, and he is speaking to the waves, and he is saying, peace, be still, be muzzled. Let that voice of the enemy be muzzled right now. That lie, be muzzled, be silenced right now in the name of Jesus. All across this room, in the name of Jesus, you are going to become a master of whatever storm you are in, whatever storm that you might be entering into. God is going to cause you to master it. You are going to get to your destination. You are going to complete your assignment. God is going to fulfill his purposes through you in the mighty name of Jesus. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him praise. God bless you. See you tonight.